5, Trudeau versus Rockford Health Plans.
May it please the court, counsel. My name is Steve Kaya, and I am here on behalf of the appellant, Brian Trudeau. We are before this court requesting a reversal of the district court's decision interpreting an insurance plan that was issued to Mr. Trudeau prior to a motor vehicle accident that he was involved with on July 16th of 2003. On that date, Mr. Trudeau, while operating a motorcycle, struck the rear end of a vehicle and suffered some significant injuries, a fractured leg that has required a number of surgeries. He has incurred over $47,000 in medical expenses. Within 2 days of the accident, Rockford Health Plan advised Mr. Trudeau that it was denying coverage for the medical bills and relied upon an exclusion that provided as follows. We do not cover treatment, services, and supplies in connection with any illness or injury caused by a member's operation of a motorized vehicle when legally prohibited and or intentional use of illegal drugs. Mr. Trudeau then filed an appeal of that decision through the administrative procedure set forth within the plan. And during that process, he was advised by Rockford Health Plan that they had made a mistake in terms of the exclusion that they were relying upon. They indicated that the initial exclusion I just cited for you was not in effect at the time of this accident. Instead, they relied upon an exclusion which stated, we do not pay for services which result from war or act of war, whether declared or undeclared, or from participation in an insurrection or riot, or in the commission of an assault, felony, terrorist action, or any illegal act. The health plan took the position that the phrase any illegal act applied to Mr. Trudeau's situation in denying coverage. We filed a lawsuit in state court. It was removed to the federal court by Rockford Health Plans. The district court, after hearing cross motions for summary judgment, granted the health plan's motion for summary judgment. The district court determined that the phrase any illegal act was not ambiguous and did indeed encompass the activities of Mr. Trudeau on the evening of the accident. We believe that the court erred in that its decision ignores the language that precedes the phrase any illegal act, and that if you interpret the provision in question in light of the provision as a whole, as opposed to taking out that specific phrase, we believe that the provision is indeed ambiguous. We believe that a reasonable person objectively looking at this particular provision would not conclude that operating a motorcycle, even with an alcohol level above 0.10, which was the legal limit at that time in Wisconsin, would not conclude that that conduct is encompassed within this exclusion. We believe that our position is further strengthened by the subsequent modification that Rockford Health Plans placed into its policy that it incorrectly relied upon earlier. If indeed this exclusion applied to any illegal act, there would have been no need for Rockford Health Plans to modify its particular policy. Now, in this particular case, we believe it's important to take a look at the effect of this exclusion on acts other than drunk driving. There's no question that operating a motor vehicle is a serious situation.
And is illegal under Wisconsin law.
Absolutely.
So it does constitute an illegal act, as that term is ordinarily and reasonably understood.
I would agree with that. But I believe this phrase could also be applied to any number of other acts that are technically illegal, but that do not rise to the level of operating a vehicle while intoxicated. For example, inattentive driving, which Mr. Trudeau was cited for. He was not cited for driving under the influence. He was cited for inattentive driving. I believe that action would fall under this provision. I believe if you were parked in your vehicle waiting for your child to leave school in a no parking zone and were struck from behind and were injured, I believe this phrase would apply. There is a public park near my home that says between May 15th and September 15th, I cannot walk my dog in the park. I believe if I was injured in that park while doing so, this particular phrase, as interpreted by the plan, could be used to exclude coverage for my medical bills under those circumstances.
It's your position that this provision is ambiguous?
It is.
And is ambiguous as a general matter or contextually ambiguous in light of the facts of this case?
I believe it is ambiguous in the context of this case. I believe that this provision appropriately interpreted would require some act to have been committed by Mr. Trudeau that was analogous to the specific acts that are mentioned, a felony, an assault, some type of act like that where it is almost certain that physical injury will result, or is certainly at a great risk where physical injury will result. Obviously, war, insurrection, riot, those are the types of things where physical injury is almost certain to result. But to take out one small phrase, as Rockford Health Plans has done and the district court did in interpreting the provision, I believe is an incorrect interpretation of that plan when you read that provision as a whole. And I believe Rockford Health Plans recognized this and subsequently modified the policy to reflect that. I think it's important to note
the new language of the policy.
Pardon? I'm sorry, Your
Honor? What is the new language of the policy?
The new language of the policy indicates that the plan excludes coverage for treatment, services, and supplies in connection with any illness or injury caused by a member's operation of a motorized vehicle when legally prohibited and or intentional use of illegal drugs. That phrase came into effect after Mr. Trudeau's accident, but I think it's important to note that the decision to place that phrase in the policy must have been made by Rockford Health Plans before Mr. Trudeau's accident. So the subsequent modification of the plan was not motivated by Mr. Trudeau's legal claim here. It was motivated, I believe, because Rockford Health Plans recognized, even before Mr. Trudeau's accident, that this particular provision did not apply to circumstances such as Mr. Trudeau's situation.
If we have to get into the motivation, doesn't it take that evidence outside of the exception to the parole evidence rule so that we can't consider it?
I believe that the subsequent I believe that the policy itself, the later modification, would not be a violation of the parole evidence rule in that this is the contract itself. We are not requesting an affidavit from someone interpreting the policy.
Well, it's not the contract that applies here. It's a later contract.
But it's the same contract. It is the same plan. And obviously,
it's a modified plan.
Well, I understand that. But the decision to modify the plan was made before Mr. Trudeau's accident. And I'm not. And what I'm saying is, I'm not arguing that the district court was incorrect based on the modification. I'm saying that the policy is ambiguous, and therefore you could look to the subsequent modification to interpret that particular provision as we have in this particular case.
Provided we don't have to get into determining credibility issues, motivation issues.
That is correct. That is correct.
Which we would have to do in order to determine why the policy was changed, right?
I believe the language of the modification speaks for itself. That the plan itself, Rockford Health Plan, determined that this earlier provision that it relied upon here did not apply.
Okay. See, the plan in question in this case does not speak for itself, but the subsequent plan does.
Yes, the plan as a whole, that is correct. Rockford Health Plans relies upon two cases, the Lampin case and the Sisters case, in support of its proposition in this particular matter. As I argued in my brief, I believe both of those cases are not on point in this particular matter. The sister's case involved an exclusion that contained language far different than what is at issue here. In the Sisters of the Third Order case, the exclusion indicated it did not provide coverage for expenses incurred while engaged in any illegal or criminal enterprise or activity. It did not include the preceding language that we have here, the insurrection, war, assault, terrorist activity. The question in Sisters wasn't whether or not the phrase was necessarily ambiguous. The question was whether or not drunk driving is the type of activity that was indeed an illegal activity. And the court in that case said yes. We're not arguing that drunk driving is not an illegal activity. Our position is that drunk driving was not the type of illegal activity that was encompassed within the exclusion relied upon here by Rockford Health Plan. With respect to the second case, the Lampen case, that exclusion is somewhat similar to the exclusion that is at issue here. However, it is very important to note in Lampen that the employer advised the employees before the accident in question in that case that medical expenses incurred as a result of drunk driving would not be covered under the policy. And that type of information was not given to Mr. Trudeau or his coworkers prior to this particular accident occurring.
Mr. Kai, your time has expired. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. Troy Hagestad for Rockford Health Plans. This case is both factually and legally very straightforward. I find it actually incomprehensible, given the fact that both parties are in agreement that this involves the construction of an illegal acts exclusion. I think it speaks volumes that neither in Trudeau's motion for summary judgment or in his appeal does he even cite Sisters of the Third Order. We do have guidance for whether drunk driving constitutes an illegal act exclusion.
Well, Trudeau rear-ended somebody and got a ticket for inattentive driving. Would you deny liability under those circumstances? It's an illegal act, isn't it?
Well, my answer to that is twofold. Number one, despite references in Trudeau's brief that part of the basis for the denial of coverage was inattentive driving in addition to the drunk driving, that is a misrepresentation of the facts. Our denial letter, I believe, is October 23rd denial level letter, cites only the drunken.
I'm asking you to answer my question about if you get a ticket for inattentive driving, that's illegal. You've done something illegal.
That is true. And your question really is, at what level would this be brought to? Would jaywalking be an illegal act under this exclusion? I suspect probably not.
If it's illegal, it's illegal. you can't say it's not illegal.
Well, we don't. Luckily for us, I don't think we have to split that hair in this case, because this court has held that drunken driving at least.
No, we've got to write an opinion that's going to authorize health plans to do various things, and I think this is pretty relevant to that.
And I think the underpinnings of the and the reasoning of Sisters of the Third Order gives this court some rationale and policy for applying it to drunk driving. There's a discussion as to the serious risks of injury resulting from drunk driving. It is not just jaywalking. And counsel indicated, well, gosh, I think that the illegal acts exclusion should be saved for something where likelihood of physical injury.
Yeah, but you can say, yeah, shooting somebody with a pistol is a seriously illegal act. It's not something trivial like driving when you've got you're slightly over the limit of alcohol contained in your blood. All these illegal acts are. You can make various comparisons of what's more serious than another, but sure, policy just says it's an illegal act.
That's right, and I guess what I'm suggesting is that is interpreted, and I am happy to say it should be interpreted in consistency with the Sisters case, which I believe controls, and that case says that drunk driving in the operation of a motorized vehicle is a very serious act, it is not, you know, taking it to a ridiculous level and applying it to the jaywalking instance. And counsel indicates that it should be, just be safe for something where serious injury is likely to happen. I would posit jumping on a motorcycle while drunk and driving down the road is just that sort of act.
Well, what he was convicted of is watching people outside of strip clubs, though, wasn't it?
Inattentive driving, yes.
Facts would indicate that's what it was.
In the case law, Lampen and Sisters,
you might have done that even if you weren't drunk.
I won't comment on but of course, the problem is Lampen and Sisters says that what you were charged with, whether you're even charged or not, there are all sorts of reasons why someone may be charged, not charged. That doesn't matter. And it doesn't say that neither a charge nor a conviction here is necessary. It's undisputed. They've never disputed that he was driving his motorcycle while drunk. And what Your Honor is really getting at, perhaps, is maybe some of the causation issues. Would this have happened otherwise? And they didn't really argue, neither in their appeal nor in the motion for summary judgment, that it wasn't caused by the drunken driving. Actually, they argued a different issue, and that was that because they say the exclusion doesn't make it clear whether causation applies or not, that in and of itself makes it ambiguous.
Another aspect here is interesting. This is $50,000, and the reality is that the hospital is going to come up. You start for the $50,000, right? Unless Mr. Trudeau has got more money in the bank than I assume he had.
I think that's exactly right.
Well, they took him in and they gave him a blood test and they found he was over the legal limit. Do you think they should have quit treating him because they knew that his policy was going to exclude coverage and they'd never get paid for their treatment?
Well, thankfully, I don't think that the emergency rooms make that determination, and I would hope they're not looking at a legal acts exclusion in the emergency room, so I would hope that...
Well, I asked the question, you know, it says to me, I always send irrationalities about health insurance provisions. If the hospital is really the party in interest here, and I guess you indicate that it is, maybe you ought to think about them as well. As well as Mr. Trudeau.
Well, the problem with that, from my perspective, Your Honor, is you'd basically be gutting pretty much any exclusion in a group health plan. Of course, the provider who performed the service, whether it's a hospital or a physician, I guess is left holding the bag, so to speak. But I don't think there's any legal basis for suggesting that means that the exclusion shouldn't be applied as written. One other comment I would like to make, and that's on this causation issue about whether it could have happened regardless of whether he was drunk. There's the case of Cliff versus IMC Holdings. The plaintiff in that case also said, well, I was swerving to try to miss a possum. And the court said that isn't really enough to raise this issue of causation and to suggest that, well, it would have happened even if I was sober. And I'm quoting, one of the most critical problems for the drinking driver, if not the most critical one for others, often tragically, is the dramatic slowing of the driver's reaction time. Hence, even if, as Cliff claimed, more than a month after the accident, he saw an animal in the road and swerved to avoid it, someone who's not totally stewed, as Cliff was, could well have avoided the accident entirely or surely had a much less serious one. In this case, there's no, other than the mere fact that Trudeau says, well, I was also while drunk, distracted by a stripper, there's no evidence, even if this court wanted to consider the issue of causation, put no evidence in the record other than that mere fact to suggest that it would not have happened, the accident would not have happened if he were sober. So I think that's a non-issue. Thank you.
Thanks to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement.